Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing why TV streamers and networks need to stop ending new shows and others on cliffhangers. Stop it. I'm sick of it. M. Night Shyamalan has his next TV project, reviews of The Mastermind, Good Fortune, and The Wilderness, and much more. So let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Troy Heinrichs.
What's up, everybody?
Amanda is not here and subbing for her last minute, so greatly appreciated from NoReruns.net is Kyle Nolan. Welcome back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Which is good because you know TV, right? You've watched a lot of TV.
I've seen plenty of shows that get canceled that don't end very solidly.
Are you still mad about any of them? Like, you actually...
Definitely. The one I always go to is Santa Clarita Diet. That one needed one more season to wrap it up.
I did... Okay, so, you know, obviously we do... I do post on Facebook and one on The Hollywood Outsider on Facebook. We got a page. And I did a random one just because Timothy Olyphant did an interview where he was talking about that show, and it blew up. Like, it went viral for some reason. I'm like, Jesus, people are pissed about Santa Clarita Diet. Like, that show was left from several years ago. But, yeah, they intentionally left it on a cliffhanger because they thought they were coming back. They thought they would, like, push the network or Netflix.
When they do that.
Yep, and it did not work. It did not work. So, ouch. Interesting. But, yeah, people love that show. Love it. All right, well, just before we get moving, remember you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can find us on your social outlets, wherever you want to go, and you can rate it and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. We do appreciate it. And you can also check out Inspired by a True Story, our true crime podcast that we've done. We're going to have a few episodes coming soon. Hope you guys enjoy that. I hope we might be doing a little different, too. I don't know. We'll see. So, guys... I don't know if you heard, but the news networks are actually working together for once. Did you hear this? It's just like...
No.
No.
Yeah. All the news networks released a statement because the Pentagon had these new rules that said, you have to agree to these specific rules, which basically mean you don't get to report on anything unless we approve it first. And all the networks said, no, we're not doing that. I mean, all of them. And CNN, Newsmax, they're coming together. They're making out right now, which has never happened in the history of... mankind. Fox News is on board. Like, everybody's on board. They're all like, nah, this is a bit much, you know? Good for them.
That's the way it should be.
You're right. That is the way it should be.
Freedom of the press.
Yep. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited. I'm like, oh, we can come together occasionally.
I mean, they're all owned as a conglomerate by somebody right now that I'm sure Trump put into place, but, you know, it's fine. They're all still together.
We're not a political podcast, you know? So, don't do that much. I'm just saying it's pretty cool that networks actually said, we're not going to agree to this. This is not okay. So that's good news. Other news, bad time to be Jared Leto. Of course, when is it a good time these days? I mean, there's nothing this guy does that doesn't end up flopping or grossly underperforming. But Tron, Aries, I know, Troy, if you listened to last episode, he liked it quite a bit.
I know a lot of people that liked it quite a bit.
A lot of people went and saw it, loved it. I mean, I think, isn't he playing AI? So that's probably not too hard, right?
Fair. Sorry. Yes, a blockbuster movie seller Jared Leto is not. But in this movie, he's actually, like, he's funny. He's, like, he's pretty good.
Just keep, like, telling yourself
not,
that.
He's not a great actor by any stretch, but I mean, like, it doesn't deter from the movie. He doesn't,
I mean, he's taken down DC. He's taken down Spider-Man. Now he's taken down Tron. I mean, what other ones has he got left?
I totally forgot about Morphin Time. Or
Morbid Time. I was hoping he'd do it in Tron. It's Tron in Time. But it did not do very well. I think that might be the end of your beloved Tron there, Troy. You saw it too, Kyle, didn't you?
Yeah, they did leave it open for a fourth movie, but...
I wouldn't bank on it.
I thought it was fine. I was a little bored at the beginning, but it got better as it went along. And overall, I somewhat enjoyed it, but...
The third act is great.
But yeah, it's not something I'm rushing out to see again.
Neither is anyone else. That's the point. Oh, Jared Leto. Stay in indie movies, buddy. I think that's where you belong. All right. Should mention Yellow Jackets announced earlier this week that they're going to end next season, this upcoming season in 2026, with their fourth season. So, well, we're talking about shows that end on cliffhangers, and that sucks. I'm glad that we are getting more and more shows that are kind of getting that final season and telling us ahead of time, like, hey, this is going to be it. This is where we finalize it.
Yeah, I mean, Yellow Jackets could have ended with season two, in my opinion.
I haven't seen
beyond season one, I don't think.
It has not been as great as the first season was. The first season was spectacular. It basically suffers from the it problem. I don't care about the adults. I want to see the kids go feral in the woods. That's why I signed up for the show.
Is it still doing the thing where it's like the younger versions and then their older versions still? Yes. They're still doing that?
And there's like way too much older in season two, and there's still way too much older in season three, in my opinion.
I don't watch it. I still have not watched it. And all you're doing is telling me don't watch it. And
yeah,
that's not helping.
I would pass.
Wow. You just have to watch 3.5 seasons and then it gets good.
If I just hold on, I'm almost there. we did get Stranger Things runtimes this week. They're not feature length. I think the first
for part one,
for the first portion, the first four episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They come out Thanksgiving, then you get three episodes at Christmas, then you get the big finale, which I'm sure will be like a 2.5-hour movie, if I remember right. That's going to be New Year's Eve. So, but
I know some people hate that release method, but I really appreciate it because then right. I don't have to try but to
give me a devil's advocate. Why do you love
I don't
it?
Because
I'm like pissed and I want to slap somebody still.
Because now you, I only but. Have to watch four episodes at Thanksgiving to not be spoiled. Whereas if they released all eight or however many there are, I've got to spend my entire Thanksgiving watching this before it gets spoiled for me, because there's no like, you can say just don't read stuff on the internet, but sites just post stuff, full photos and headlines, without even worrying about blocking out spoilers. So I'd rather have just a few episodes I got to watch to not be spoiled.
That's a good argument, Troy. Yeah.
I think it's kind of the argument that we made.
I don't know if I made that argument. I probably did, but I don't remember. I'm still mad about it now. I think I've gotten mad about it over time. I don't know if I was mad about it at first, but the closer I get, I'm like, I just want to be done with it. These kids are 47 years old. I just want to be done with it.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're talking about, what are we at? 1 hour, almost an hour and 23 minutes.
23 minutes. So they're normal episodes, really, except for the last one.
They're a little long, but they're not super long.
An hour is what you get on HBO, man, and on special. I think a lot of the rumors out there were, oh, each episode's going to be feature length. That's why they're splitting them up. No, I think they're splitting them up because of what Kyle said.
Each part is going to be feature length, and they didn't know that there were going to be four episodes in part one.
No, people have been rumor crazy about this show because it's been 3.5 years. They've got nothing to do but talk about it.
Hour 23 is feature length.
Yeah, that's one episode out of four. That's not, I'm saying that the rest of them are just normal TV length.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still 4 hours of my Thanksgiving I got to take up. That's a whole Two Towers episode right there.
Sometimes I don't know what your argument is. Extended or regular? Do you know what his argument is? I just don't even know. I think he's just arguing to argue. I don't even know what he's arguing about.
Oh, I mean,
he's saying to take away time that he can watch his Lord of the Rings marathon.
No, Kyle's point is that the reason why he likes the release method. I'm repeating what he said. I'm not speaking for him. He said that he appreciates that he doesn't have to spend 9 hours on Thanksgiving. He only needs to spend four. But sitting down to watch four episodes or 4 hours of content, that's still a feature length viewing because people are going to do that. Because they don't want to be spoiled. They want to see part one completed before they go out shopping on Friday.
All right. I want to segue into this, Troy, because this is your boy, your favorite, your special guy.
I don't know about that. We kind of had a falling out a couple movies ago.
M. Night Shyamalan has he's working on a new series. I could make this up if I tried. It's Magic 8-Ball. It's based on Mattel's Magic 8-Ball. You know that thing where you shake it and you're like, oh, try again, you know, which is all it ever tells me. But this is actually a thing. He announced it. It's confirmed. He's been working on it for a couple years. So I guess maybe he just got lost while he kept shaking it, coming up with new storylines. I don't know what's going on with that.
Is this one good? Try again later.
But apparently, you know, because this gives you yes or no answers to yes or no questions, a lot of stuff like that. And this is going to be a supernatural bent, apparently. It's going to be, it sounds like a horror show. I don't know if it's going to be full horror, if it's going to be PG-13. I assume that they're going to go like a PG, a softer route, since it's based on a kid's toy, kind of. But what do you think about this? Like, is this exciting in any way, shape, or form? Do you get excited about him going IP route?
I'm just wondering, is each episode going to be like a different response? Like, one episode's yes, one episode is no.
Here's what happens if we had this answer. And then it's like the same story every episode, just different variations. It's like Sliding Doors or whatever that movie was.
It would be funny if the episode titles were all the different responses from the A-Pulse.
They gotta be. They have to be. But are you excited about this?
Is it a triangle pyramid? Is it a dodecahedron? What's inside a Magic 8-Ball? How many variations are there?
I don't know. These are things maybe you should have Googled before you started.
It's 8-Ball because it looks like an 8-Ball.
I mean, I wouldn't Google it because I don't care about this series. It's Shyamalan doing TV sounds scary.
Didn't he already did? He already did TV before, didn't he?
Servant.
Yeah.
Oh, Servant got 4 seasons. I forgot about Servant. That got 4 seasons. Yeah.
That's one show on Apple TV Plus I did not watch, or Apple TV now because the Plus was dropped.
So stupid. What the hell's with these guys, man?
That should be what we're talking about, is how awful that branding conundrum is going to be for that company.
Okay, you want to segue off Magic 8-Ball? Is that the answer you got when you shook it? You want to move on?
Exactly.
No pluses?
No one cares about M. Night anymore.
Okay, so you don't care about it, but you love the guy. You mention him like all the time. So that's why
he was good. He was good.
I asked the question. I didn't give a shit about this. I put this on the format so Troy could talk about it. And apparently he doesn't care anymore. He's like,
but he's got to get his Apple money. He's got to segue into Apple.
Yeah, if it's going to be on Apple TV, then it's a different story. Then we'll talk about it. If it's not going to be on Apple TV, don't care.
You're weird. All right, well, segue into plus signs.
M. Night is old, okay, at this point.
He still gets them a little bit here and there. Here and
now
there.
He just manages to shoehorn all his kids into his projects. So
he really does.
The next generation.
Or make his kids do his own or their own projects.
Or pretends they're singers. On occasion. On occasion. Wastes a really good storyline so he could plug his kids' musical career because he thinks she's going to be Taylor Swift.
See? Old, trapped, all those. Just not good.
Old was pretty terrible. All right, well, segue then. So Apple TV, they dropped the Plus. Now it's just Apple TV, no more Plus. I'm glad they didn't go with Apple Movies because they don't have any, and the ones they do suck. There's like three exceptions. Don't write me. Greyhound is still in the top 10. I just saw it. That thing is 3 years old. It's ridiculous.
It's a good movie.
But fine. But should it still be in the top 10 of their movies? Like, they've had that many original movies where it's still in the top 10?
They've only had 10, so everything's in the top 10.
They're waiting for F1 to drop in December so they can bump it out at the top 10.
Yes, F1's coming December 12th. Definitely check that out. So we had HBO Max. They went to HBO Go and
went to HBO Go, then it was HBO Max, then it was just Max, and it was now it's back to HBO Max.
Max. Now it's HBO, whatever. We already talked about that. Now Apple TV is dropping their Plus. I assume soon Disney Plus, it'll just be Disney, because Hulu's ending their app, I think.
Hulu's moving into
the Disney app, so it's going to be all one. I assume ESPN will at some point, because they're all connected. What do you think about this rebranding thing? Like, do we need the Plus? Was all the rage for a long time. Paramount Plus, they got to drop that too now. So what do you think?
Well, the Plus was needed because Apple TV is a hardware product that they sell versus the service, which is something you could watch on the product. So the problem that Apple TV as a service has is that people are confused. They don't know, like, do I need an Apple TV to watch Apple TV Plus? And that's been the biggest problem with Apple so far with getting their service off the ground. Even though it has probably some of the best content on streaming platforms today. And by dropping the Plus, it makes sense. The real question, I think, is what does that mean for the hardware? Are they still making the hardware? Are they going to rebrand the hardware into the HomePod line as part of that ecosystem? Like, that's really the question I have, is what happens with the hardware next? Because Apple TV as a service name makes sense to me.
I can't imagine they're going to get away from that, because currently the answer is yes, they're still making it. There's a new model coming out, I think, at the end of this year, and it's pretty popular. I know a lot of people that use Apple TV, I think, is like their their channel guide, right? Like instead of using whatever interface their television has, they use Apple TV. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, they do like the what's up next.
No, they use interface. It as an actual, like they use all the apps on Apple TV as opposed to using the apps on their native television apps.
Oh, see, I use the Apple TV for all my streaming apps, and I just add everything. I add everything to their up next list. So I just automatically, when there's a new episode or something, I see it automatically shows up in my list, and I know there's something to watch. I hardly ever browse the actual apps for each service,
each individual one. So does that mean like it collects all the shows you like in Apple TV at once? Is that what you're saying? That's what
yeah, so once does? You start watching something, it automatically knows that you're watching that. And so if a new episode shows up, it just shows up in your one long list of what's up next. So if there's a new episode that of like Only Murders in the Building, it'll show up in that list. Or
holy
an episode
shit.
Of that's something like on Paramount
of,
Plus
of TV shows
just except Netflix. Netflix still
doesn't
show up. Yeah, Netflix
doesn't integrate into it because they didn't want Apple to have any kind of insight into what people are watching or how many views they are getting. So they didn't want to integrate into that list.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Netflix, the experience is good from that perspective. It's $169 for the box for like 4K versus $39 to get a Roku stick, which does the same thing.
Or $25 for a Fire Stick, which I use.
Yeah. Or $19.99 if it's on Prime Day or whatever it is.
But I tell you what a Fire Stick doesn't do, what Kyle just talked about. Like, it doesn't have that, because I'd probably never get up. My ass would be 5 miles wide. I like to pee occasionally.
I mean, I have an Apple TV hardware device that I used religiously for a long time. And then the more and more I started using the Roku interface, I was like, the Roku's fine. I don't need to have another attachment that's built into the TV. Any other, like, other TV that's not a Roku TV interface, like the Samsung or Google, like those interfaces are terrible. That's where you need a Roku or an Apple TV device, is to replace those built-in LG versions or whatever. But if you got a Roku built-in or buy a Roku stick, like it's hard to like justify $39 versus $169.
I don't know. I've got an LG TV. The apps work fine. I don't think it's that big a deal, but
they're slow.
They're fine. I'm telling you, I have
yours
one.
Are fine because you got a brand new TV, so all the apps are updated and current. Wait 4 years, and then you'll be screwed.
Oh yeah, my LG TV doesn't have like Paramount Plus. It doesn't have any of the newer ones.
How old is your TV?
Maybe almost 10 years. It's the last model they did that was 4K and 3D. So that's why I'm never upgrading
love your 3D.
He's a 3D guy.
I need my 3D. Yeah.
Did you buy like a backup TV? Like you
oh, keep I have a backup. I have two of them.
That's funny.
But they only had the curved one when I got the second one. So I have that in my bedroom, and I have the other one in the main room.
Do you watch 3D in your bedroom? Like you're just sitting there, you throw on the glasses.
But it's just there as a backup in case something happens.
Some cartoons. That's funny. All right. Well, you know, I think it might be time. Let's just go to our From the Outside In topic. Okay, so it's time to talk about this because honestly, it's pissing me off. Prime just canceled Countdown and Butterfly. I don't mind Countdown so much. You know, it's a Jensen Ackles show. Jensen Ackles is a fun actor. He'll show up somewhere. I think he's got Mount Rising and he's going to be on Tracker again. I would prefer a Tracker spinoff since he doesn't have Countdown. But Butterfly, I love that show. I absolutely loved it. It's like 6 episodes and ended on a cliffhanger. They both ended on a cliffhanger. So now you got 2 shows that I watched completely that ended on a cliffhanger. One of them is actually a pretty big hit. Countdown was in the top 10. I think it's still in the top 10. So it's been a hit for a long time. And I kind of just want to touch on this. So we've talked about cliffhangers in the past, so I don't want to talk about like what's so special about cliffhangers. It's more about like what are the solutions to this, because I'm sick of it. How do we encourage streamers to stop screwing the fans? And I want to preface this with, it's not as simple as just don't watch it, because we're tired of investing time in shows only for them to be canceled out of conclusion. And it's not fair. It's really bullshit. You sit there and you watch Countdown was 13 freaking episodes, and then you end on an episode 10. I know Troy hasn't watched it. Kyle, you watched Countdown, right?
No, I haven't watched it at all.
Well, episode 10 gives you an absolute conclusion, and then they have 3 more episodes where they start a whole new story that then they ended on an absolute cliffhanger where you don't know if a character is going to die. or not, because she's being hunted by the killer they're chasing. Well, I mean, spoiler alert, the series creator, he said, hey, guess what? She lives. Good. Good news. I would rather have seen it or just don't tempt it, you know. And Firefly had a mass, or Butterfly, Firefly too. But Butterfly ended on a massive cliffhanger that I won't spoil because I still think it's worth watching. It's got a conclusion to the series, and then it's kind of like got a little cliffhanger after that. But it's still, it's annoying. So how do we as fans demand conclusions, are prepared on shows we haven't even invested time in yet? Like, what can we do? Is there anything we can do?
Well, I think it comes down to the showrunners. Like, they got to write a season. Like, plenty of shows have done this right, where the season comes to a complete close, like, but they still leave things open for more. Like, they did that just in this latest season of Dexter, with Dexter Resurrection. It felt like a complete story. It had a conclusion, but they did leave some breadcrumbs should it come back. I don't think people should be planning these 5-year arcs anymore that may never happen. Like, you've got to just write a complete season, but then leave some things in there that could be explored in further seasons, rather than assuming you're going to get 5 seasons in a movie or 6 seasons in a movie.
Are you Community now? That's a Community reference. I got that reference. But how do we make them, though? Like, I mean, here's my thing is, okay, I don't know if I'm even going to like the show until I watch it. If I watch and I get invested and then you cancel it, you know, cancellation has been part of television since the dawn of time. I get it. It happens. Shows get canceled. But we're in an era where there's so much content and they all know there's so much content. So if you want us to invest our time, then give me an ending. At least let me, so I feel comfortable. And then, like you said, give me a little something, something to bring me back. That's fine. But you don't know if a character is dead or not. I mean, a main character, and like, that's how it ends. That's just, it's just people are getting very, very frustrated because shows are getting canceled at a much bigger clip because there's so much television. And it's just like, well, why do I keep investing my time and you don't respect it? You know,
I guess that's a question like Carl was saying about who's the one that needs to respect it. Is it the streaming service, the network, the showrunner, the fans themselves? Like, wait until you find out if it gets picked up again before you start it.
But then it won't get views, right? Like, I mean, yeah. So it's like a double-edged sword.
I know that it's canceled now. It's not going to get my view.
Well, you know? I get that. But what I'm saying is, but then if everybody does that with every show, nothing gets watched. So, like, there's got to be, like, as far as I'm concerned, this is on the show. This isn't on the fans, because fans are already giving them their time and their subscription service. So if you don't renew it, then give me closure. I mean, I don't know why that's so hard for them to do it.
But at the same time, you're going in as a TV fan going, I wholeheartedly expect this show to get canceled and not get a resolution. I mean, that's been the deal you made with network TV 40 years ago. Like there's nothing owed to you to finish a show. You'd like it, but it's not owed to you.
Well, nothing's owed to me, but come on now. Like, they're being dicks. Can we just be blunt about it? Like, they're just being dicks.
They're trying to force the hand. New. Yeah.
What's that?
They're trying to force the hand by leaving a cliffhanger, like, oh, you got to bring us back. But it's worse because with streaming, they've done usually those are all completed before anyone even sees it.
Right.
So it's not like the fans have any choice and they can't course correct based on what the fans are reacting to. Whereas I think it's even worse with network shows when they know their ratings are going down, and then they try to do some big cliffhanger to try to like turn it around. But if you know the show is never going to get picked up, then just write it towards an ending when you get down to the final episodes, rather than trying to force the network's hand.
I've said this for a while, but if you anything under 3 seasons, you shouldn't be allowed. Like, the network should say you cannot leave on a major cliffhanger. I really, truly believe that. Because I think by the 3rd season, people know where the show's going. Is it going to be around for another couple of years, or is this probably going to be the last year? So give it some completion. And I think the studio should be doing that. Like, if they don't, I realize they're trying to make money, but you're making me, like, want to dump services, to be perfectly honest. Like, every time they do this, I'm like, why do I pay for this service? Why? Like, Prime just did it to 2 shows I was watching. Now, one didn't really bother me, but the other one really pissed me off. Like, Butterfly had a global appeal. Like, it was really cool. Great action scenes. I mean, it was really cool action in that show. I was really impressed. Daniel Dae Kim did great. And his relationship with his daughter, Rebecca, was fun. So it's just like, and now I got nothing. I got nothing. And you end on a massive hangover. And, or not hangover, cliffhanger. But made me want to go have a hangover. It's just annoying. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of investing my time, man. I don't want to wait 6 years for a show to end to finally start watching it. Because everything will be ruined for me by then. I'll know every, because thanks to social media, I'll know everything that happens.
Well, I think Kyle has a point, though. Like, maybe some of this stuff is already in the can, because you said that the show had 10 episodes but had a conclusion and then they added on three more. So maybe it was like originally intended to be sold to network, or maybe it was intended to be sold as a cable property. And then a streamer finally comes along and picks it up, because the streamer needs new content constantly. And so they pick up what was already a predetermined non-streaming show, trying to make it into a streaming show.
No, it was Prime all the way. Prime owned it. It was actually Prime produced. But they were trying a little gimmicky thing. They were going to finish in 10, and then the three were going to be to kind of bring you back. That was the idea. It didn't work.
I don't need three to bring me back. I need about 10 minutes.
They can just get rid of the last three episodes on streaming and only put 10 up there.
They could. I mean, honestly, they could. They could do that.
Troy only looks at things in terms of him only. He doesn't look at anybody else on the planet. Right. This is how I do it. Why can't everybody do it my way? Do it my way.
Wasn't there one streamer that went back and changed the ending? They added like a different 5-minute ending. This was recently, like within the last year or so, to some show that got canceled.
Mythic Quest?
It could have been. Yeah, I think it might have been that.
Yes, it was Mythic Quest. Yep.
Because I remember I was watching that and I was like, wait, this looks different than what I remember the time before. That's a great show. I like that one.
It was fun. And at least, you know, and honestly, more shows could probably do that. I mean, even Countdown, you could film the conclusion should we get canceled, right? Write something, you shoot it in a couple of hours, like some easy scene that explains whatever the cliffhanger is. And then
hey, she's alive.
Yeah. Hey, she's alive. I don't know. Give me a freaking title.
Even a news report. So-and-so captured by police and like this person.
Give it the, was it Pushing Daisies treatment?
The old epilogue treatment.
Here's a little epilogue for like 2 seconds. That answers all your questions.
Do like every 80s comedy where he gave me exactly what happened to every character 5 years after the movie ended. I'm fine with that at this point. Just let me know. Give me some closure.
I think the challenge is that streamers are different than networks. So on the network side, we're always like, just give us the movie, right? So we got like the Zoe's Infinite Playlist Christmas special. And we got, what was the other one? Timeless had like the movie to wrap everything up, right? So sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes you get the big network campaigns like Jericho to get the second season to come back to finish up the story. But streamers could like just film one more episode. Just film one more. That's it. When you know you're going to cancel it.
I mean, that's easy to say, but as much as everything costs nowadays.
Especially the streamers, like they may have filmed this way before and now it's finally airing.
Yeah, it's like a year.
Production's already been shut down.
Because, I mean, they have everything edited and wrapped up and ready to go, typically, by the time it airs. So, well, I did ask in our Facebook group listeners what they thought. So, like, and my exact question was, like, so how do we as fans demand conclusions, are prepared on shows we haven't even invested time in yet? And Brad Hoover said, well, tech will reach a point where we can AI our own conclusion to cancel series or even extend them. And I thought that was interesting. So, like, basically, AI will just be doing fanfic for us.
I mean, we already have fanfic. We don't need the AI to do it. I mean,
but now you can watch it.
I could just watch it.
Well, he's saying, what he's saying is, yeah, like you said, now Sona can, you know, make some actual ending for you. How about that? That would be cool. I'm okay with that. Michael Rook, the problem is world building. We need to fall in love with the characters and the setting, not the mystery or hook from suffers the same issue as Lost. Once the mystery element is revealed, there's no reason for the characters to stay. Thus, the mystery has to be solved for the series to exist. Not saying you can't have mystery, but when it's the glue that bonds everything, you know it'll eventually fall apart. I like that.
I disagree.
I completely freaking agree, because Lost fell apart.
I agree with the concept he's talking about, but From specifically, I'm watching From for the characters and what they're going through. I'm not in it for the hook. The hook is kind of like, I'm eventually the hook will come, the mystery box or whatever will be revealed, but I'm watching it for Boyd. Like, Boyd's going through some shit.
You said that about Lost too. And they added 1,000 mysteries and didn't answer but 3 of them.
In your opinion.
In a lot of people's opinion.
I agree with his opinion.
2-1, you lose. Chris Fred, you will never solve this problem. It goes back to Dallas. God damn, that's a dated reference right there. Who shot JR? I still don't know. When the show started, most episodes were contained a 1-hour story. Once they figured out on making more a serial, they used the Who Shot JR for everything. The ratings exploded. Like a previous post said, we need a world building as viewers to be invested in to come back. In the recent case of Countdown, they could have ended the show after the first case ended and waited for pickup, but they barreled under a new case, and now we are screwed. I agree mostly, but I also think Countdown wasn't a very good show, so it didn't need that. I mean, it was okay. It was fine. Jensen Ackles made that show work, but it didn't need like the big cliffhanger. I think it always, the whole show wanted to be 24 and it never was 24.
It never was 24, and that's why I never got past the first episode. I want to rebut the Dallas comment though, because it goes back even further than Dallas. It goes back to Alf.
What?
Alf's final
episode. Nobody remembers Alf.
Alf's final episode was a cliffhanger. He got kidnapped by the alien task force and we never saw what happened to him after.
He went back to his planet. Solved.
Didn't see it.
If you've been waiting since the 80s for this answer, boy, I didn't need AI for this one. I could have solved this for you a long time ago.
Well, it was actually 1990, but okay.
Easy. Listen, guy who could just Googled what was before Dallas and cliffhangers.
When did Dallas?
It's actually
1990 was after Dallas, dickhead.
That was after Dallas.
Yes. No, yeah. Alf's final episode was 1990. Dallas's final episode was 1991.
It doesn't matter. The cliffhanger was like in 84 or something. So, no, Alf was after that. So, he's right. You're wrong. Say it.
Sure. Whatever. Talking about the last episode of the TV show.
Say it. Say it. Own it. Oh, my God. Sharon Berg said seasons will need to have standalone story arcs that wrap up, maybe with a little mystery left over for possible future seasons. That's very much what Kyle said. We watched Chance on Hulu. They did this pretty well. I have seen some shows try to do this more often, right? So it is kind of happening. So what are your one season? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I say Westworld did that really well. Every season was.
You just can't. You just can't not say it. You just can't. So do you have any examples of shows? I mean, Firefly is my go to, but it was answered. You finally got a movie that kind of answered the questions that were left over in that show. But are there any other ones that, you were just absolutely pissed about when it ended and it was ended on a cliffhanger after a season?
There's 3 big ones. I think we're flash forward. I mean, everybody basically gets blacked out except for one person. They see a date in the future. We finally get to that date in the future in the finale, and then they all black out again and no more show. It's like WTF. And I think the event was the other one where aliens land on Earth post-World War II. Some of them got captured by the government. Other ones were sleeper agents. They tried to release this virus to take out the humans. And then all of a sudden, the freaking alien planet shows up in the atmosphere. No more show. Like, what? What? Come on. Rude.
Rude.
One that sticks in my mind, I don't remember if I was actually upset about it, but you remember the show Surface? There was like some alien...
Yeah.
Surface was good. I remember that finale. They were like in a church... It was flooding and the water was rising in the church. And I think, and like the boy was there and the mother was there. And that was just how it ended. You didn't know whatever happened.
The drowning
after
or not. Yeah. In the church. Revolution. Then you find out that the nanites are responsible for the blackout. And then the lady has the vision of the creepy face in Idaho. And then they cut to Idaho where the power's on in the clown funhouse face. And it's like, and that's where the story ended. Like that one sucked.
Alcatraz was good. I liked Alcatraz.
Alcatraz was good too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's like you had more conspiracies, somebody got really hurt. I can't remember which character it was, but and then like just nothing. Never didn't get picked up.
This one might have impacted Game of Thrones, so maybe it was a good thing that it got canceled, but Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Like that one.
That one, like two seasons though. That wasn't like a one season. That was two. I remember that went two years.
Yeah, but it still ended on a cliffhanger where we're expecting the third season, and it was like.
Well, I remember. I think my biggest one was Terra Nova. I don't know if you guys ever.
Oh, watched. Terra Nova was a great one too.
I liked Terra Nova a lot. That was a really cool show. That was kind of like Fox had this run of like 10 years where they had these cool sci-fi premises, and then they just never renewed them because they could never figure out how to find an audience. Then Apple TV came, did the exact same thing, and found them all. So I don't. I remember Briscoe County Jr. was another one. Like that thing never came back. I don't think it really ended on a cliffhanger, so to speak, but still broke my heart. But Terra Nova ended. I mean, there was like, they found this, I don't remember what it was, but they found this thing. And then the whole idea was there was going to be more time travel complications because of
the portals.
What happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see where that show went. Like, because I had some really cool ideas and never know. Just sit around waiting forever. I'll just be thinking about it. Well, I guess now I can ask AI.
Didn't Peacock or NBC do one similar to that recently? That actually ran for three seasons when it probably should have only run for one.
Which one's that?
La Brea.
Oh, God. That looked terrible. Was it terrible? I didn't watch it. Was it terrible?
Oh, it was awful. Yeah, it was awful.
The one that was recent, Debris. Debris was that where they were having the alien technology was coming down and they introduced John Noble as a big bad in like the last freaking episode. And you're like, what? John Noble's here and you're going to not bring the show back?
What show is this?
Debris.
I don't remember that one. I remember you saying John Noble's on a TV show, and you were very excited, but
for 10 minutes, and then...
Yeah, because Troy has the attention span of a gnat.
It's true.
It is. He's already past this podcast. He's already looking at next week's format. He's just like, "What? Where's that? Let's talk about this." I don't have anything else really to talk about this. I just... It just pisses me off, and I'm really getting freaking sick of it. I'm really tired of... Because there's so much TV. If I'm going to waste my time watching something, or I'm sorry, if I'm going to spend my time watching something, I want them to, like, you know, respect my time, because I'm paying for all these services. I'm not watching anything on mom and pop's ABC, NBC, CBS shows anymore. You know, I'm paying for everything I'm watching. So by God, it's cable again. I want my stuff to last. You guys don't get mad about this. It just sounds like you're very, it happens.
I think we've watched so much TV and had it happen to us so many times, we're just numb to it at this point.
Exactly, yeah.
We're just abused.
I just tend to, I seem like I lucked out on those two Amazon shows. I never watched either one, so it didn't affect me.
I didn't even
me.
Know Butterfly was a show.
Butterfly was so good.
I thought that was animated.
No, it was, I think it might be an anime. I think it's a comic that it was adapted from. Maybe it's manga or something, but it was, it's a father-daughter show, and like his reasons for being away from his daughter for a long period. He's like a badass assassin. He kind of goes into hiding. She grows up thinking he's dead. They reunite and she's a badass assassin and she's off her rocker, which is what makes it so good because, you know, it's one of those where the dad comes back and he's like, they're reunited, but you can't trust anything she does because she might kill him at any second. We don't know because she's a little loopy. And I just thought it was a cool dynamic and the action was badass. Not like most TV shows where it's like, what are we doing here? Like Countdown's action scene sucked, if I'm being honest. You could almost time them. They were always around 20 minutes into the episode. They had the worst, Troy, this would drive you nuts. They had the worst music editing because it was so freaking loud. Like it was like, you know, when commercials, there's like the old adage where when you watch a show, commercials are always way louder because they want you to pay attention. And then you go back down for decibel levels when you go back, bring the show back. It's like that. The music would be like amped up like twice as loud. And then all of a sudden, and all they would do is just drive around and just do quick cuts to make it look like they're going really fast. Like watching Hunter in the 80s. But I like Jensen Ackles a lot. So I had still enjoyed it. But my God, it was not a good action show. All right. Well, you know what? You know what is a good action spectacle? It's Mission Impossible. Because our lives are the sum of our choices, and you can bring home Mission Impossible, the final... You like that? I got an applause for that segue? All right. Yeah. You can bring home Mission Impossible, the final reckoning on DVD and 4K. Now, I recommend 4K if you're going to get it, because make sure that stuff looks fantastic. Because Tom Cruise stars as Ethan Hunt in this action-packed thrill ride that film critics are calling the biggest and wildest mission yet. You can go inside the incredible stunts, the over 50 minutes of jaw-dropping extras when you buy on DVD and 4K. It's available in participating retailers, rated PG-13 from Paramount. This is one that you're going to want to have in your house. You got to watch all of them. Watch all of them back to back to back. Like, make it a marathon. Thanksgiving, don't watch Stranger Things. Watch Mission Impossible. And realize that Tom Cruise, apparently, Ethan Hunt, he's very good at planning these missions.
This one also has three commentary tracks. So you could spend 9 hours just watching commentary on this movie.
Is Tom Cruise on any of the commentary tracks?
He is. One of them's him and the director.
Christopher
McQuarrie.
One's
the director and some of the other filmmakers. And then the third one is the two people that did the score.
That's awesome. Oh, that's even better. That's awesome. So definitely Mission Impossible. Check it out. And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, if you help fund the show on Patreon, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, we will have a bonus episode there pretty soon. Hope to have it when you listen to this, but unfortunately, things did work out, so it'll be probably next week. But patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, we'll have a bonus episode out there soon. Now let's go to our upcoming attractions. Troy?
It's right, October 24th, we got Springsteen in the house, Deliver Me From Nowhere, set to the music of Springsteen's album Nebraska, starring Scott Stuber and Jeremy Allen White.
Can I say something?
So it's a comedy. Yeah.
It's a comedy. I understand that reference. Man, maybe they'll win an Oscar. Best comedy. I don't like Bruce Springsteen music. I like Bruce Springsteen. Don't care for his music. Do you think it's kind of like the Bob Dylan? I never watched the Complete Unknown because I'm not a Bob Dylan fan. Do you guys think this is going to be good on its own as a movie? Or if you're not a Springsteen fan, why bother?
Because there was the Bruce Springsteen film. The guy was, totally forget the name of it. He was in Indian descent. He was supposed to go into the family business, but he basically didn't want to do that because he loved Springsteen so much and rock and roll. Like, that one I felt like really told the story of Bruce through him in a really interesting way. So I don't know how this will compare to that movie, but I really enjoyed that movie about Springsteen.
Blinded by the Light.
That one.
Blinded by the Light. That was it. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Dylan fan, but I thought that other movie was fine. I enjoyed it enough.
Fine is a rousing endorsement. That's going to make me run and check that out.
I mean, I'll obviously be checking this out because I always go see everything. But yeah, I mean, it's not one I'm like super excited to see, but I'll find out if I enjoy it when I see it.
What else is coming out, Troy? I don't think we're on board yet.
Yeah, Regretting You, Morgan Grant, who put her dreams on hold to raise her daughter Clara, now faces a strained relationship with her teenage daughter, especially after a tragic accident takes the life of Clara's father. McKenna Grace, Dave Franco, and Mason Thames will be in this one.
McKenna Grace is growing into a very talented actress.
Really good.
You know, she's very young, but my God, she's talented.
And this is pretty much how I feel about Aaron. If I had legs, I'd kick you. Linda is dealing with several challenges, including her child's mysterious illness, her absent husband, a missing person, and a strained relationship with her therapist. Rose Byrne and Conan O'Brien star in this one, rated R.
That's my go-to. Rose Byrne. Love Rose Byrne. Love her.
And my go-to is probably going to be Begonia. Two conspiracy theorists kidnap the CEO of a major company, believing she is a hostile alien.
This is that Yorgos guy, right?
Yeah,
I have to see this one for the Focus Features promo. But I have zero interest in that.
Same director as Poor Things, and every movie Emma Stone has done in the last 3 years, apparently.
Yeah, but
it's got Emma Stone, so an alien.
And Jesse Plemons is in it too. He's the one of the conspiracy.
Well, I'm definitely in. Yeah. I'm definitely.
He's another go-to for Yorgos.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he and Emma Stone, they get along very well.
Over on the streaming side, October 22nd, the Monster of Florence miniseries comes to Netflix.
That's cool.
8 double murders, 17 years of terror, always the same weapon, 22 caliber Beretta. In Italy, a faceless serial killer sows panic, sparking one of the longest and most complex investigations ever based on real events, direct testimonies, and court documents. An oldie but a goodie that some people may remember, but now we're getting it again on Hulu, October 22nd, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
No, don't do it.
I'm running out of ideas.
Man.
A woman distraught over losing her own baby insinuates herself into a family as their nanny with the ultimate goal of taking the kids and the husband for herself. Dun, dun, dun. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Raul Castillo star in that one.
And Monroe. What's funny, it's not funny, but if you follow Hollywood celebrity gossip, it's kind of ironic that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is, never mind.
That's what you're putting down.
Google it.
House of Dynamite hits Netflix October 24th. Radars at Fort Greely, Alaska detect a nuclear missile. The president and his entourage must be use their limited time that they have to try to shoot down the missile before it reaches what? Chicago. I'm not watching that.
Catherine Bigelow, man. That's Catherine Bigelow's movie. That might be the rare Netflix movie that's awesome.
I was expecting this to star like all the like be like the president one that they had recently on Amazon.
Oh my god.
With like some big action stars doing like a comedic action movie.
No, like the John Cena and
John Cena one.
Yeah. No, this is dead serious. Rebecca Ferguson's in this and it's Catherine Bigelow directed it and she is awesome.
Oh, if it's the Ferg and the Bigelow, then I'm in, I guess. Yeah. Even Bert though it's going to blow up my hometown.
Zero Dark 30, all those.
All right. But the one everybody will be watching is October 26th on HBO Max, the prequel series set in 1960s, exploring the origin story of Pennywise the Clown. Welcome to Derry. It's coming to town.
It's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that.
Pretty excited.
All right, well, before we get to a couple other reviews, I want to talk about The Mastermind because, Kyle, you saw this, right?
Yes, it was this week's mystery movie, both at Regal and at AMC.
Look at this guy.
Their Monday movie that you don't know what you're going to see, although people seem to figure it out ahead of time.
God bless people. Well, in 1970, yep. Mooney and his two cohorts wander into a museum in broad daylight and steal four paintings. When holding on to the art proves more difficult than stealing them, Mooney is relegated to a life on the run, and it's directed by Kelly Reichardt and stars Josh O'Connor, Sterling Thompson, Elena Haim. I just want to know, so this is one that is not on my radar. I don't know anything about it. I like Josh O'Connor. He's kind of popping up. He's going to be in Wake Up Dead Man in the near future. He was in, what, Challengers earlier this year? Was it this year or last year? Whenever the hell it was. Is this a sound movie? Is this worth a trip to the theater, or is this fine? Kyle, is it fine?
I'd say it's fine. It's a movie, so it'll probably show up on that service like quickly.
Yeah.
The pace, like, I think it looks really well done. Like, it's set in the 70s. You really feel like it's back in the 70s with like the look of the film. Like, it has this jazzy score to it, and it has like the outfits and the cars and everything. You instantly know you're in the 70s. And I think that's a good setting for like a heist type of movie because you don't have cell phones, you don't have the internet. So it's going back to like an old school planning of a heist. Mm-hmm. So it's really almost two movies in one because the first half is all him planning this heist and executing this heist. And then the second half is things went wrong and now he's on the run. I found the pacing to be quite slow at times, especially because it takes like this whole heist is stretched over an hour and then you have another hour of just him on the run, which a lot of the movie is just him for a lot of, especially when he's on the run. And so it just, the pacing seems to crawl, and then it, like, it's not a cliffhanger, but it ultimately just ends without really, like, it feels like you're building up to something and then it just ends.
Something never happens. Rolling.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's just like a, just an uneventful ending that I mean, overall, I enjoyed the performance. I enjoyed like the heist. It felt like I enjoyed how they built that up and how it played out. And then the on the run stuff just seemed to just go on forever. Overall, yeah, it was entertaining, but not as good as it could have been. Like, the performances were good, but overall, the movie I found a little bit lackluster, especially with it, how it ends, like, just that abruptly. Seemed to bug you. Yeah.
So, if $10 is full price per mission, what would you give The Mastermind?
I'd say maybe, like, a 6.
That's still pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. And, Troy, I saw The Wilderness.
Yeah, The Wilderness is not Stand By Me, but the premise is simple. That's a group of teens snatched from their home with their parents' approval and sent on a wilderness program for troubled youth. This particular one is run by James, a man whose calm, controlled demeanor borders on the ominous. So, group of boys trying to get their head straight. I'm assuming this is a deep, emotional, heartfelt, you know, kumbaya type of film, or is it something else, Aaron?
Wants to be. Very, very much. It's a very, it's almost melancholy in a lot of ways. I mean, it's a slow burn film that wants to be a lot of different things. It's really kind of focused on this one kid, who's Ed, who's played by Hunter Dewan, who's, if you saw Wednesday, you know, he's the bad guy in Wednesday. But here he's kind of dealing with the loss of his father, and he's definitely troubled. He got into drugs, and he's kind of, does he want to hurt himself? Does not want to hurt himself. And he's sent away to this camp that is supposed to be for wayward boys or troubled teens, not boys, but troubled teens. And they go through this wilderness program and they're forced to kind of develop their issues and go through their issues and through wilderness training. And the funny part is I actually went through something similar to this, not quite wilderness, but through a program like this when I was a teenager, because I was a troubled youth, shocker. And mine was very, very helpful, but you had trained psychiatrists involved, and I think that really helps as opposed to Crocodile Dundee in the woods. But it's also trying to have like an underlying thriller element where you don't know, is James a much more ominous threat, or is it just how Ed sees things because he's so against being there in many ways? This is one of those movies where they're trying to do a lot of things. They don't quite connect on any of them as impactfully as they want to. It's a great idea. I think this could have been a really great film. Like, for me personally, there's a lot of layers that speak to me, especially, like I said, when I was growing up. So I was really looking forward to this, and it didn't hit on any of the levels I wanted it to, or that I thought it should.
It's in the wilderness. Does the wilderness itself end up being a character? Things that go bump in the night? Is it look beautiful? Is it hard to see the people because it's shot at night?
It's written and directed by Spencer King. I think it does a wonderful job capturing the wild, like cinematography. It's beautifully shot. No, they don't. I mean, I look, for full disclosure, I also backpack, and I have for like 25 years. There's a lot of scary shit in the woods. And, you know, they're basically sleeping. They're not in tents. They're actually sleeping in sleeping bags in the wild, which is very dangerous. And there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you're just sleeping unprotected in any way, shape, or form. I mean, you know, I'm not afraid of bugs, but I'm a little weary of scorpions and rattlesnakes and things like that that could definitely be in these particular environments. And these kids aren't protected at all. And they don't really address that at all. And it makes no sense to me that they don't address it at all. It's just getting like another missed opportunity. And it's one of those things where it started to irk me after a while. Cause I'm just like, okay, you're in the wild. It's called the wilderness, and there's nothing wildernessy going on.
What about the rest of the cast? I mean, obviously you have, Doohan and Yeager is kind of like the two main leads, but does the supporting cast actually support, or do they just kind of get in the way with their stories?
No, their stories are kind of, they all kind of look alike and act alike in many ways. They don't really have the character differentiation and build up and storyline. Aaron Holiday plays Levi. The one thing I'll say about him is he reminds me a lot of Sam Rockwell, which is a compliment. So there's that. I mean, he's very, very much in line with his mannerisms and tics, and even has his look a little bit. But no, maybe Miles. Miles is played by Lamar Johnson, and he's the only one of the characters that really gets a little bit more depth. He's got a lot more going on with him, and Ed is constantly debating if he wants to be friends with him, if it's safe to be friends with him. Is he much more damaged than he appears, etc.? And so at least I like that. It just doesn't capture on all the opportunities that the movie has. I think you ever watch one of those movies where you're like, there's a great movie here, and they just can't find it? It's that. It's one of those.
All right. Well, $10 is the full price of admission. What do you give Emo Stand By Me?
$5. I give $5. It's worth a watch, but you're not going to come away with any impact. Go watch The Long Walk instead.
The Long Walk was so good.
Oh my God. Such a great movie.
So good.
Such a great movie. All right, last review is I want to talk about Good Fortune, which is a good movie. I really enjoyed it. There you go. There's a spoiler alert. If you don't know what this is a movie Aziz Ansari has been trying to get made for quite some time. He wrote and directed it and stars in it with Keanu Reeves. So in the movie, Aziz Ansari plays Arj, and he's a guy who's just having a rough go of it, man. He just has a hard time paying the bills, and he's like a lot of us, right? Just trying to get through every day with little money or not enough money and just constant struggles and just thinks, you know, nothing's going to change for the better. And he runs into Jeff, who's played by Seth Rogen. He's this tech bro who has made a fortune, and he's kind of had the easy life. And so what happens is Aziz is having, or Arj, I'm sorry, is having a rough time with his life. The only plus in his life is a wonderful woman named Elena, who he met, who's played by Kiki Palmer. Love Kiki Palmer. I mean, I would totally fall for her too. Totally get it, Arj. And outside of that potentially blossoming relationship, Arj doesn't have much going on. So Keanu Reeves plays Gabriel, who's this angel that actually is focused on texting and driving. So his main job is to stop idiots like us from crashing into people by texting and driving, because apparently everyone's doing it. And, you know, God knows. You know what? He's always watching and he's pissed off. Stop doing that. But don't be doing that when you're listening to this either. Like, pay attention to the road. To the road. Put your phone down, okay? That's what Gabriel's trying to do. Well, he thinks he can make a difference in a lost soul's life. So he oversteps his angel duties and decides he's going to help Arj by showing him, look, having a rich guy's life is not as good as you think it is. So poof, switches their lives. He and Jeff switch places so he could just let Arj see how good he's got it. The problem is Arj loves it because it turns out having money solves most of his problems. And it's that's the setup. And then essentially what the movie becomes is the only way that they can switch back is if Arj agrees to it. And once he's switched places, he doesn't want to agree to it. So now Gabriel has to convince him, but he keeps losing his job because he's screwed this whole thing up so horribly. It's kind of like a nice high concept comedy, which we haven't gotten in a long time. I don't think that's really been worth watching. This one's actually pretty funny. And it's nice seeing, Aziz Ansari, obviously, you know, wrote, directed, starred. He's got this is a passion project for him. Understood. Seth Rogen, if you know Seth Rogen, you know what you're getting. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone. Kiki Palmer, I think, adds layers of depth and humanity to the movie that I think it needs, because she's probably the best actor in terms of an empathetic character. And then you got Keanu Reeves' Gabriel, who goes up and down. I mean, starts as an angel just trying to make everybody's life better, and he ends up chain smoking and working as a dishwasher. It's there's a lot of ups and downs for all of the characters. There is a little bit of a story element where you have, it's a little preachy, right? Like just saying, you know, the haves have a lot and the have-nots are constantly struggling and it's not right. I think these things are true, and I think we all agree with them. This is really a movie for people that have had to struggle at any point. And there are moments where it can get a little preachy, but a good movie makes you forget about that part, and this is a good movie. It helps me forget about it. A lot of that is dependent because Keanu Reeves is just so goddamn endearing. Even though his Valley dude speak is always, you know, I've heard so many people over the years say, well, he's just a terrible actor. I'm like, no, that's just how he speaks, man. I think he's a good actor. And he does some comedy here, and I think he's actually pretty funny. And he makes the movie. Keanu Reeves makes the movie. Good Fortune is not going to be something that is going to blow your socks off. I don't know if it'll be a super bad, one of those comedies where you watch over and over for years. But I will tell you that it's paced well. It moves at a good clip. It's enjoyable, and all the characters have something to offer. And they really kind of shine a light on, hey, you know, yes, having money actually does solve a lot of problems. And the opportunity, it's not fair for a lot of people. And you can keep saying that everybody's got the same chances, but it's not really true. Like, it's just not true. And I think anyone with any sense of critical thinking will agree that it's not necessarily true. A lot of people are just born with opportunities, and other people are struggling constantly trying to get them. And that's kind of what the movie's talking about. I think it's a fun movie. It is a hopeful movie. There's a lot of good comedy in it. It's not great. It's not going to blow the doors off, but I really enjoyed it. So $10 is the full price of admission. I give Good Fortune $7.50. I really recommend it. And I think if you can get a couple friends to go, you probably have a good old time. All right. That's it for most of the show. There are some recent film and TV recommendations you guys haven't talked about. I don't know. Is there anything you want to talk about, Kyle? Anything you've seen recently that you want to mention that people should check out or avoid, for that matter?
I did watch Boots on Netflix.
How was it? How is it?
I thought it was good. It's one of these where even though it was it's the first season, it does come to a conclusion.
Yes.
But also sets things up that they could do more if they wanted to.
This is Marine Corps boot camp, Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the 90s, right?
Yes.
Okay, yep. And he's a
gay. Yeah, so I had seen some episodes of it a couple of years ago from some market research thing, and they did change stuff a little bit since then, because it seemed like when I saw it originally, it seemed more focused on, oh, there's like this new recruit in there that maybe like he's attracted to this closeted, the main character is like a closeted guy who on a whim just joins, signs up for the Marines because he wants to get away from his mother is, who's the actress? She's the one in all those Conjuring movies.
Vera Farmiga.
Yes. And so she's like not the greatest of mothers. She doesn't even realize he's gone for like weeks and then realize, oh wait, he said he was leaving to sign up for the Marines. And so, it's much more of a, like a coming of age, just like it focuses less on the don't ask, don't tell stuff and more just on these young Marines just going through boot camp and struggling, just all the struggles they go through and some of the other, problems that happen with like people getting mistreated, like the recruits getting mistreated and harsh treatment. But yeah, I thought it was really well done. It has some humor in it as well, mixed in with it's more drama, but there is some humor mixed in.
So it's a recommend from you?
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Good. In our fall TV preview, I was very excited about that. Still am. Just haven't had time to watch it because I was in boot camp in the 90s. And I was really hoping for more of a focus on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because I talked about it on that episode. Like, there were people.
I mean, it does play a role, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's anywhere near like the main focus. Like, it comes up like he's struggling a little bit, but it's definitely not like people call him like names. Like, they don't necessarily know he's gay, but they like, they're just using terms and things that wouldn't be PC today.
Understood.
So yeah. there's
so they do touch on there. It though, because that was a big deal.
They definitely touch on it, but it's not but it's not like I would have expected it to be more of a focus, but it's more just general Marine boot camp stuff.
Kyle or Troy? Well, I'll just call you Kyle. Anything?
Yeah, in the mortal words of Snap, I got the power. Chad Power, that is.
I had no idea where you were going.
Yeah, that made no sense until you got there, man.
I would use the He-Man reference, but I figured people wouldn't know the He-Man reference.
Well, nobody knew this one either, so you had that.
Yeah. How do you not know Snap?
I know it. It doesn't make any sense.
He was snapping a football.
Chad, yeah, Snap. Exactly. There you go, Kyle.
Hey, sure.
Kyle's making it work.
Okay.
Chad Powers is, it's interesting. First episode feels like it's a.
This is weird, Glenn Powell. This is the Hulu show,
Hulu
right?
Show, yeah.
Glenn Powell is faking it to be someone else so he can play football again or something.
Yeah, because he royally messes up his career when he's playing originally, and then he has to like get out of the dumps and follows kind of that same like meltdown mode of, say, Stick over on Apple TV. But this is more gimmicky, I would say. There's some good heartfelt moments in the second episode, but then the episode this week, it's like a traditional football TV show. Like, nothing is real surprising in the way the third episode plays out. So it's kind of like I'm in for some of the character story, but at the same time, it's not super firing on all cylinders just yet for me, but I'm going to continue with it so far.
I'll give you one other one. The Woman in Cabin 10. That's a new Keira Knightley movie where she is a journalist that play, her name's Lo, and she gets invited on this yacht, this billionaire's yacht, where they're forming a new charity and they're doing a nice little cruise to promote it with a bunch of other billionaires, and she's supposed to cover it. And then possibly a murder happens. So the whole, it's based on the Ruth Ware bestseller. And while she's out there, apparently, you know, when this is happening, she's trying to determine if this is actually in her mind or if this really happened. And, you know, that's the mystery at play. It's not a good movie. I'm letting you know right now. So I'm giving you one to avoid. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but don't.
I watched it and I regretted watching it.
It's terrible. It. Yeah. Isn't it terrible?
Oh, it was bad.
It's terrible. Guy Pearce is here. And if you've seen anything he's done the last 5 years, then you've already seen this character. He's just like the ominous, powerful guy. Maybe he's bad. Maybe he's not. Probably is. But you just don't know. You don't know, right? Because Guy Pearce, you know, he plays innocent so well. The frustrating thing is Keira Knightley seems like she's doing everything she can to make this work. Like, I like her a lot. I liked her character. I thought if she just had, I don't know, somebody there with who could write, maybe AI, this could be a good script. This would be a better movie. I don't recommend it. I think you should avoid it. I was very excited about this. I'm terribly disappointed now. If $10 full price of admission, I'd probably give it like $2. I'll never watch it again. No, that's very disappointing. Oh, man, Keira Knightley, good for her. I would still watch a sequel if they had a different writer, because whoever adapted this, either the book was terrible. I didn't read it. Sounds like one of those airport novels, you know, where you read and you're just like, just junk novel. Maybe that's the case. But it's just the dialogue was terrible. Like, the mystery was terrible. The conclusion was ridiculous. And I mean, yeah. What did you think? You didn't like it at all? You regretted it?
Oh, but I agree with everything you just said. That roundup at the end, like exactly what you said. Yep.
So stupid.
I agree in all points. Yep.
And I can't spoil it, but the ending, they're like, oh, there's the ending a plan is so bad. That makes no goddamn sense. Like, it's this terrible plan. It's Troy, it's almost worth watching for the plan, just to see here's how we plan to wrap this up. Why? Why did anyone think this would work? This makes no sense. Ah, God.
Is it worse than a War of the Worlds plan? Because I don't know.
It's up there. All it's right. up there. I don't know.
Well, I have to make an apology to everybody because.
Oh. Hang on. Strap in.
I'm really sorry that I didn't earn my Apple TV paycheck, because I meant to watch The Lost Bus, but I couldn't find the Apple Movies app. So, and I didn't realize that they had movies on Apple TV anymore. So I did not get to see The Lost Bus in time to talk about it tonight.
Troy.
Mostly because I was in San Francisco with my daughter.
Troy, it's all right. All right. All right.
I did enjoy. I thought that was far better than The Woman in Cabin 10.
Oh, so you did see it. Was it good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's McConaughey. I've heard that's pretty tense, right? It's a very tense movie where he's bus driver trying to get away from the fires with kids in the bus.
Yep. That pretty much sums it up.
The campfire specifically. Yeah.
No, not a campfire. A blazing flat fire that might.
Well, it's the burn. Campfire fire.
Yes.
The name of the. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the name of the fire is. Is that true, Kyle? Is he correct?
I don't even remember. I don't remember if it was called the Campfire Fire, but
we're just going to assume you're right.
The film is based on the true story of the bus driver named Kevin McKay. He had to navigate the bus carrying 22 children and their teachers to safety through the 2018 campfire.
Nobody's impressed by your Google skills, Troy. No one. No one.
Just saying.
All right.
I was prepared.
That's going to do it for the show. Thanks, Kyle, again, for joining us last minute. Really do appreciate it. NoReruns.net. Still don't know why it's not .com, but hey, it's your website. You do you.
You got the alliteration.
Makes it special.
It was cheaper.
That makes sense. Next time you head to a theater or sit comfortably on your couch, streaming, being disappointed, being pissed off at Prime, buy popcorn. Well, situate yourself to where you're comfortable. You look very uncomfortable right now.
I'm leaning over. Here, let me move and tilt. There we go.
There.
Okay, that's
because I don't want you to be sitting like this the whole time, because you're going to really hate that. All right, are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I kind of wish I would have just made him tilt the whole time, so he was just like cocked over sideways the whole time going... Is this fucking thing over yet? Why is this podcast still going on? Jesus. Should have had a Snickers.